With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, we continue to monitor a lot of these policies and positions that the Biden administration is unraveling. We have been in a Biden presidency for about a month now, and we continue to be touching on a lot of different places. It's almost hard to keep up at times. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. A reminder that we're streaming live all the time, the whole station, 97.1 FM Talk. At an app you can download on your phone. You can go online, radio.com, and stream the station. Just find 97.1 FM Talk and click the little heart. You'll favorite us, and then you can take us with you anywhere you go, all throughout the country. One of the things that is very important that I don't see getting a lot of attention with the stimulus package being discussed and with the power outages taking place in Texas across the southern part of our country is a lot of the ICE regulations that the Biden administration is putting into place, along with some of the new immigration policies that we've discussed a bit on this show. Laura Reese joins us now. She is Heritage Foundation's Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security and former acting DHS Deputy Chief of Staff. Laura, it is a real pleasure to have you on the show today to lend your expertise to some of these policies that this Biden administration has changed drastically according to ICE guidance, which I'm reading here. I'll use the quotes, turns America into a sanctuary country. That's got to rub people the wrong way, I'm sure, across the country. Love to get your reaction to that.
Yes, well, thanks, Annie, for having me on. And the former director of ICE, Tom Holman, coined that phrase, sanctuary country, and he is spot on. We have long talked about at Heritage the dangers of sanctuary cities and localities where criminal aliens are not turned over to ICE, but rather released back onto the street by these very leftist city leaders, only to commit crimes again, harming Americans, harming other migrants in their own communities when they shouldn't be here in the first place. And so this ICE memo that was signed last week greatly narrows, even from how limited the Obama administration enforced the law. This new memo greatly limits who would be removed to basically terrorists, spies, and convicted aggravated felons.
Laura, I would think that this issue kind of snowballs on itself because not just the current crimes and current issues that would be happening, but then it also encourages people in the future to maybe break those laws because they know there's no consequences.
Absolutely. I mean, and we've seen it so much this past year, whether we're talking about riots in different cities, but also illegal immigration. If consequences aren't applied, if the law isn't enforced, then it continues. It sends the message hey, do whatever you want. You're not going to be punished for it. And, you know, we're going to look the other way.
So let me ask you this, Laura, when we're considering what the new guidance is for ICE, are the laws changing, or is it just the way ICE is supposed to interact using those laws for particular people?
Yeah, the law is not changing, and there is quite a robust set of laws that Congress passed in statute, which says who is not allowed into the country and then who is removable once inside the country, including several laws, whether it's drug-related laws or weapons or domestic abuse, et cetera. And so what this memo does is it says, due to limited circumstances, and that is the excuse the left loves to use and run with, but they're using it to shut down enforcement of most crimes. I mean, not included in this memo would be felonies where a person hadn't been convicted, or drunk driving, or domestic abuse. I mean, many crimes will not be acted upon, and so those people will either be released back onto the street, but certainly not deported.
Laura Reese is Heritage Foundation Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security and former acting DHS Deputy Chief of Staff. Laura, is this a first for modern American history? I mean, is this a kind of a policy agenda that we've seen before in America and we know how it plays out? Or is this uncharted territory?
I'd say it's uncharted territory. Now, under Obama administration, they put out a priorities memo for ICE as well. And they restricted the number of crimes that were to be enforced. But even it, under Obama, was broader than what was just put out last week under the Biden administration. I mean, law enforcement is saying that ICE targets now are decreased or cut by 90%. And ICE agents are largely without a job to do. They've pretty much taken away their job. And so for those leaders like Representative Ocasio-Cortez and others who have called to abolish ICE, this memo, in effect, does just that.
So, Laura, when you're assessing what has taken place here, as you said, was it Holland or that made it, called it America's as a sanctuary country? Is there an honest, like, can we take ourselves out of our side of this issue right now and put ourselves in the shoes of the Biden administration, the people who have collaborated to put this together, and see it from their perspective? Is there anything other than virtue signaling and political hay to be made for the Democrats, where they advocate for this being what's best for Americans and the people who are associated with this, both on the ICE side of the equation and the people who they would be apprehending? Is there a good faith argument from the other side that we can be looking at right now that defends this, or is it just political hay?
I don't think there's a good faith argument. I mean, if you kind of pull back and look at the entire population of illegal immigrants, whether it's someone who crossed the border illegally but then did not commit additional violations of the law, or someone who's working without authorization or overstayed a visa. Okay, let's put that at one end of the spectrum in the illegal alien population. Add to it instances of fraud, buying documents, all the way up to committing serious crimes, terrorism and espionage. They are taking that one end of the spectrum only and saying, we're only going to enforce the law against a subset of just that, spies, terrorists, and convicted aggravated felons. So it is the worst of the worst. But like I said before, there are a whole host of criminal aliens who are not going to be touched. And who can argue that that's a good thing for America, or that that makes communities more safe? If we're putting more drunk drivers onto the street, or child abusers or domestic abusers, who could possibly argue in good faith that that is a good thing for America?
Laura, I'm sure that you've looked at the data, being the senior research fellow for Homeland Security at Heritage, on these types of things. You mentioned the Obama administration having a similar, although not exactly the same, policy as Joe Biden is putting into place right now with ICE. Do we see that? Do we see that in the data play out, that you see more, like you said, drunk driving accidents or domestic abuse or just crime in general from these populations when there's no enforcement of the laws? Or is that something that we assume is happening, but it's hard to track because we're talking about immigration and things that are not necessarily data driven?
Well, there's been plenty of media stories on sanctuary cities and localities and the very negative, dire consequences from that when repeat criminals become recidivists. And, you know, gang activity, child molestation, et cetera. Unfortunately, there are too many cases where those criminal aliens repeat their crimes, and then other Americans or other migrants are hurt or killed. You know, again, in each of these cases, they should not be happening. Those people should not be harmed because the perpetrators shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Well, Laura Reese, it's a pleasure to have you on the show here, because this is definitely something that's important to be discussing in the midst of a lot of other big issues that are maybe getting the top headlines. These are the type of things that, you know, they cause results down the line, and then everybody goes, hey, how did this happen? When did this happen? And I'm glad that we were able to discuss it here with you today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course, we'll do it again soon. Laura Reese, the Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security and former acting DHS Deputy Chief of Staff. No, I don't like the idea of having a sanctuary country, but it's weird to me how much these conversations that we're having right now are, it's very, very deja vu-y to what we were discussing during the Obama administration. The conversations were very similar, and you know, let's be real here. Whether you love Donald Trump or not, these are the type of conversations, the issues, the drastic changes that were made by the Obama administration that really did end up producing a Donald Trump. So the end result there certainly being these types of actions do have consequences. We do need to be discussing them and bringing them to the spotlight and shining a light on them so that we know what's going on out there. And then people can vote accordingly, because that's what we do in this country. Little quick break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask, did you guys see that airplane? Did mm-hmm. you see that engine?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. So you're going to, I want to know, if you look out the window and you're on a flight to friggin' Hawaii and the engine is falling apart and on fire, what kind of concessions are you making in your soul at that moment? We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go away.
United Airlines flight to Hawaii on Saturday. The terrifying moments when a jet engine exploded after they took off from Denver. Debris from the Boeing 777's engine rained down on homes, streets, and a soccer field in a Denver suburb. No one was hurt. The plane was able to safely land with no injuries reported on board.
Thank God. I'm just going to say, if you take your horse to the Old Town Road, you can't die in a plane crash.
That, that old saying.
That's, yeah. Who sings Old Town Road?
Lil Nas X. Mm-hmm.
Man, we sound those videos of that engine on fire makes me reconsider ever flying again. I'm going to as soon as I possibly can. But it's just, it's like, if you're a person who is like me, I'm sorry if you are, but I consider all possibilities of things that could go wrong. In any situation, like going to the grocery store, it's just it helps me in this position that I'm in right now to be an overanalyzer, to be somebody who tries to do that, the mental gymnastics of approaching any situation from all possible sides. I think it makes me a more well-rounded thinker, but I don't need to know that that's possible. I need that to be a figment of my imagination where it's like, that doesn't happen. I mean, even if you think to the Twilight Zone, you're checking the wing when you get in the plane. You're like, okay, putting out there. Okay, no, mm-hmm. All right then. And I mean, you don't want to know that these things are possible. And the fact that that happened, and they landed the plane, and if you hear the pilot's call, he's calling Mayday in a very casual way. if I ever have to call Mayday, it ain't going to sound like that.
No.
And it's going to have a beep or two in it when they replay it on the news later.
Oh, my God.
You'd hear Annie Fry through the steel door on the intercom.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for the people. what do you do if you look out the window and you see that?
Straight up panic. I mean, watching that whole entire thing, watching that video, I would not be able to film that. I would be out of my seat. I know you're not supposed to yell fire. I would be out of my seat screaming at the top of my lungs to get a flight attendant.
You're not supposed to be yelling fire when there's no fire.
You're just not supposed to cause a panic. Like, I understand you're not supposed to be causing a panic.
When you're in a confined space, tens of thousands of feet in the air, and the engine's on fire, if you yell fire and they attend to your misdeed of yelling fire instead of the engine that is on fire, then we've got other issues. Which in today, 2021, probably, like, that was a very inappropriate thing of you to say, Katie, and we're going to need to take you to the back and talk about what you've done. Maybe that's happening. I don't know.
How would you have any control would be lost. I would be the worst person to look out the window and see something like that because I'm not thinking straight. I am panicking straight up.
It's happening. It's all on the surface.
Yes.
Ryan, how do you handle that?
I can already tell you that if we're flying to Hawaii, it's me and my wife. And my wife is already panicking from the time the plane begins to take off on the runway.
Yeah, I hear that.
Kind of like what you said. Like, she thinks about all scenarios that could go wrong at all times. So she's already having anxiety. I probably am going to be 100% calm in that situation because even if the person in front of me is on fire, I'm telling her, you know what? It's okay. Everything's all right because that's what I say 100% of the time.
God bless
you.
So
you're a liar.
God bless you. Yes, I am.
That's good. That makes you and your wife, Katie, a good match. Katie Fitzpatrick has flown with me.
I have.
She knows. I mean, I'm not like irrational about it, but I'm probably kind of like your wife, Ryan, where it's just like, well, the next 2 hours of my life could go really badly. I mean, in a circumstance that normally, if it were going to go badly, it would be a lot less dramatic. That's kind of how I feel about it.
I'm surprised by you saying that. I would have thought, see, I always tell her logical things to get to talk her down.
That's what everybody who's in a panic wants to hear is as much logic as possible. Like, listen,
exactly.
Buddy, you're crazy right now.
Acting
like
crazy.
For instance, but honey, you know that you have a statistical higher chance of dying in a car accident than you do on a plane.
Oh, totally.
So here are the stats.
Are you afraid of every time you get in the car? But it doesn't matter.
I am now. Yeah, like, your life is in way more danger usually. You're actually safer now than you normally could be. It's just if it happened now, it would be in a plane crash. It'd be national news.
I would also be thinking about how are we going to get out of this mess? Like, how are we going to get out of this predicament? Whenever you see an engine on fire, I'm trying to, like, scream at the flight attendant while trying to call my parents. Look at David. Not go bald.
Phone.
What's David doing?
David is probably panicking, but he's much more of the mindset. There's got to be a yin and the yang. There's got to be one person really losing their marbles and the other person like, deep breath in, deep breath out. We both cannot be panicking at the same time.
Yeah. I can tell the level of panic on my husband's face by the height of his eyebrows at any given time. And I will tell him. He's listening right now and he just stopped what he was doing and shrugged and put his head down, I'm sure. But like, if he's nervous or if he doesn't know that he does it, I'll be like, Jared, put your eyebrows down.
Put your eyebrows down.
He looks like the emoji, you know, the one that's got the O mouth and the eyebrows way up. I don't know which emoji. They have names. I don't know. That's the name of that one is Jared. When you get nervous and your eyebrows go up, and I will say to him, put your eyebrows down. And then he's like, I don't really know what to do right now.
I'm talking to two nervous ladies in the room, apparently. So I'll be kind when I ask this. But
this is where most men should have stopped. But Ryan, go ahead.
If you are in the passenger seat, if your husband's driving the car.
I'm the worst.
And looks away for a second, which, you know, you do. You look around while you're driving.
At the tree line because he thinks there are deer over there? No, I wouldn't know.
That may be exactly what I'm saying.
There are men and women listening right now who know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter if the deer are over there.
Yeah. And you're going to point it out. You're going to say, hey, look at that.
No, I'm going to go.
that's where I'm going with this.
And I'm
going
to grab.
Do you gasp they look
Can't
away,
not.
But you see that the car in front of you has stopped?
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna stop. He's not going to get in an accident. But do you gasp anyway?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And my husband's driving that Dodge Challenger. So he's he ain't playing whenever
Nothing
we're on.
Against the Dodge Challenger.
No, I love it. I love our car. I'm so happy. But that's a sports car. So he's looking over here and we're still going 65. And the car in front of us is braking. I am like,
is it too much to ask? Just to watch the road, though, Ryan. I
no.
mean, is it too much to
yes,
say
I mean.
The...
yes, yes, it is.
Is it too much to ask when you're driving, you know, where I live, potentially through the country? I will try to reroute him at times, especially if it's dusk. Let's go through the most populous part of the city of Edwardsville or Madison County, wherever we are, where there still probably are deer, but it's less likely. But, I mean, there's this genetic thing that is in, not all men, but some men, where it's like, ooh, tree line, dusk, where are the deer? I gotta count them. And I'm a big fan of counting deer, but not, you gotta watch the road. I'm raking him over the coals.
Look, I'll just say this, and this will save you a lot of trouble in your marriage. There is almost
Is this from
nothing.
The marriage retreat?
Advice. By the way.
Yeah, we had the marriage retreat this weekend. This is all we talked about.
Emoji's a shocked emoji.
Which one?
Yeah.
Shocked. Shocked emoji. Mm-hmm. Jared.
So if you want to avoid an argument, that is the best way to do it, because there is nothing that takes me from zero to like boiling than when my wife gasps like that, mm-hmm. because instantly my emotion is you didn't trust me to stop, even though you know every single time we've been in this situation.
So you're
before.
Being a real woman about this. Let me just put it this way. You're being a real woman about this, because what you haven't understood yet, and I'm going to save you fights, is that she can't help it. And if she only gasps, then that means she's already done something to measure her reaction, which is a nascent reaction that just happens that she can't suppress. If it's not followed up with, what the heck are you doing? And like grabbing your chest and putting the brake on the side and saying you're the worst driver ever, then she's already restrained herself with great effort that she's actually doing that for you. So the gasp is probably the best she can do. If there are words that follow, then maybe she can improve. Or maybe your driving could improve. There's probably a middle ground in there somewhere.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that it's a reaction that she can't control. And she does a pretty good job of not following up to. but then the women, you got to give
you
us.
You can't. Wait, whoa. Don't
women.
Say the women.
The women. The women folk.
I'll just say woman. Okay, so woman, and I'm talking to my wife here, you've got to give me the same grace when so I go, what the heck are you doing?
I love because that Ryan went on a marriage retreat this weekend, and this is what he brings to Monday afternoon. The woman who he used as a way to refer to his wife, who he gives an allowance to.
Really, what I'm doing is I'm trying to avoid all the confusion with all the Katies on the show by just calling
true.
My wife woman. That's
true,
for you. That is for you guys.
Hey, Ryan, can we pick on you for a second?
Oh, what do you got now? What this am I is... doing that's inappropriate?
Listen to this.
Laura Reese is Heritage Foundation Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security.
Did you call her a fella?
Did I say fellow? Fella? Laura Reese is Heritage Foundation Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security.
No, you called her a fella? Research fella.
Fella.
I message Katie. I go, did he just call her fella? And she waits a minute. And she's just like, yes, he sure did.
I didn't hear it at first, and then I'm
Laura
like,
Reese is Heritage Foundation Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security. it's shorthand. I was trying to say fellow.
Shorthand.
It's like, if you're gonna call a woman fellow, then fella's fine too, right?
In Spanish, that would be the feminized version of the word.
That's what I meant.
In English, exactly it was just like for. Shorthand backwards
fella.
By the way. That is the longest title I think we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
So give
yeah,
a little
true.
Bit of grace there.
That's very true.
Hello.
It is a very, that, she had a very long title. But I wanted to make
Foundation
sure
Senior
we knew what she was up
fellow
to.
Fellow for Homeland Security and former acting DHS Deputy Chief of Staff.
She was qualified. qualified to speak on the issue. So qualified, we printed a resume. And then Ryan summed it up by calling her a fella.
Hey, fella.
Hey,
thanks
fella.
For joining us here in Southern Illinois.
It was really funny.
Well, I could call her woman.
It just, yeah.
Laura Reese is Heritage Foundation Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security. That's fine. Next time I'll go, listen, woman.
Listen, woman.
Well, you know what? If you do it, I'm going to remove myself from that interview and let you do the rest of it. And then the chips will fall wherever they may.
And I will take it out of the podcast. And
will you? Yeah. We'll put it on the Ryan Wiggins podcast. We'll create a new one for that. Oh, man. Kelly on Facebook says, the gasp is involuntary. It is. I have said to my husband before, especially if weather is involved, I have said, listen, I know I'm being, he could vouch for this right now. I know I'm being irrational. I know you're a good driver, but this makes me really nervous. So if you could just do a little bit extra for me, I would really appreciate it. And I'm trying not to be harsh to you, but I can't relax this way. And then he'll do it. But I will openly admit it's too much sometimes, but I cannot help the gasp. The gasp is a response. It just happens.
He can't help looking for deer either. That's just an instinct.
In a blizzard. Cards are just not a good place for couples. I feel like cars are not good for couples.
Make or break your marriage. Driving a vehicle, at least in our circumstances, at dusk through the country. Fair. All right. We'll take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show when we come around here on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. So Ryan brought up in the last segment the apparent gasp that a lot of women apparently have when their man is driving a vehicle and paying maybe 99% of attention to the road in front of them, but that 1% is where the comes in, and you can't
that even
help yourself.
Scared me. That scared me when you just did that.
See?
Andrew on Facebook says, if a car is driven by a man in the woods and there's no room, no woman around there to gasp, can it still stop? Jeannie says, that's me on Facebook. Mark says, my wife gasps too. It doesn't make me mad. It makes me freak out. Then too, because she gasped.
Right. Right.
Jeannie says, I too am a guilty gasper woman. So it's happening all around in cars everywhere.
I'm glad we're talking about this because I thought this was just my wife. I had no idea that this was a universal issue. I bet a lot of people thought it was just their wife or just themselves.
Yeah, don't take it personally. Can't help it. It's very much so. Here's Brad says on YouTube, our Andy Fry YouTube channel. Well, my wife was riding with me and I looked at her and she was as white as a ghost. But to her credit, she didn't make a peep. Yeah, your wife is stronger than I am.
Yep.
You can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't. I was watching this weekend. We ended up having kind of a crazy weekend in my household. And we started watching Agent Carter, which is, if you're familiar with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you've watched any of those movies, Peggy Carter is the love interest of Captain America. Or if you're a Marvel fan, you don't have to watch the movies. That's people like I'm the person who watches the movie and doesn't read the book, folks. Sorry. But Peggy Carter is the love interest of Captain America, but she's also an agent, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a series called Agent Carter on Disney Plus, if you still have it. If you don't, I get it. And so we were watching this, and it's good. I recommend it if you like the MCU, whatever. But there was a scene in it that stopped me in my tracks when I was watching it. And the series is all about this, you know, government investigative industry, the SSR that they're in or whatever. And there's this one point where Agent Sousa, that's his name, brings in a potential witness to question him about a crime that was committed, whatever. And the witness is a veteran who's homeless, who probably saw something. And Agent Sousa is a veteran from World War II who had a leg injury and he walks with a crutch. And so that kind of sets the scene. So these two men are sitting at this table and they're having this conversation. And Agent Sousa is trying to get this homeless veteran to speak and provide his experience of what he saw or whatever. And the homeless person is saying to him, listen, you and just because we're veterans, you and I are not the same. Like, don't think that you know me because we both have this veteran thing in the background. You don't know me. We don't live the same lives. We don't have the same interests. And he's like, you're still a cop. He doesn't like cops, whatever. And Agent Sousa tells the story. And it just, it was just so eye-opening to me to hear it in these words, out of the context of politics, but applying it to politics once the story was done. Agent Sousa talks about being a veteran, and he walks with a crutch, so he obviously has what you would assume is a wartime injury. If he said he walked into a bar in his fatigues, obviously with his crutch, and as he walked into the bar, he said everybody stopped what they were doing, stood up, and gave him a round of applause as he made his way to the table. And Agent Sousa says, you know, it made me feel uncomfortable, but I, you know, played along in his words as I curtsied and I sat down, I took my table, whatever. So he said, as he's sitting there at his table, the door opens again and he's working on eating his dinner. The door opens again and another veteran in fatigues walks into the building and he said, so I did what I thought I needed to do and I put my fork and my knife down and I got ready to applaud. He said, nobody applauded. And he said it in that moment, he realized that it wasn't the fact that they were veterans that they were applauding. He said, they were applauding my crutch. And they were applauding my crutch because my crutch makes them feel guilty and they want to feel good about themselves. And I was like, man, if that's not right now in this world where we are surrounded by stories, the virtue signaling, that's what virtue signaling is. If you're going to stand up for a veteran who's been hurt in war, and it's obvious to your eyes, you've assumed something about this person when you see their fatigues and their crutch, and you stand up and applaud for them because when you see them, you know that he sacrificed something for you that he can't get back. It makes you inside feel guilty. So how do you medicate that guilt? Stand up and applaud so that that person can see your action. And in that moment, you feel better about you. But that guy's still going to walk out of that bar with that crutch. He's still going to have to figure out how he's going to get in his car and drive himself home. He's still going to have to modify everything he does for the rest of his life because this is the life that he leads. But you feel better because you tell your family that night, oh, I saw this man and it was so amazing. We all stood up and gave him a round of applause. We have so many politicians seeing the person walk in the door with the crutch and standing and applauding in front of everybody else right now because it makes them feel good, but it makes them look good. And when the next veteran comes in, who you don't know anything about them except for the fact that they too are wearing fatigues, so you can assume that they served in a similar capacity as the person previously did who has a crutch, you don't know what's on their insides. You don't know what's in their head. You don't know what kind of injuries they have that you don't see. And we don't applaud that. We don't applaud that because what we're grateful for is the absolving of our guilt. I talk over and over and over on the show because I think it's the biggest thing plaguing our country right now is the selfishness, the self-centeredness of American culture, but global culture as a whole, where our reactions to the circumstances we see ourselves engaging in, encountering in, the people we meet, it's all about ourselves. The virtue signaling that we see on social media where people, you know, like... Here's the other thing, too, and this is an important part of the story. There are a lot of people who are virtuous signaling who are not bad people. You know, if you do this, if you post something and you remind everybody to wear their masks or, you know, a lot of people proud to get their vaccine or post. Don't post your vaccine card, folks. A lot of people are saying you post your vaccine card. Now people know how to forge them. Don't do that. You could post that you got your vaccine, but don't show the document that you get with it. We have created a society now where especially our children look at this and say, this is how I need to act to be a virtuous person. But the virtue has nothing to do with the shouting it from the social media mountaintops. The virtue comes from who you are as a person. Do you stand and applaud the fatigues and crutch and stand and applaud the fatigues that looks whole? Do you do that? Do you not stand and applaud anybody, but you buy the dinner for both of them? What do you do? And does it count if you don't tell everybody about it? Because in our society today, I don't think it counts. which is what's wrong, because we only do good things for other people when we feel like it's going to make ourselves look good. I think it was episode 8 of the first season. I'll have to figure out what it was, because when that happened, I made my husband rewind. I'm like, listen to this. Go back and listen to this. And what he's explaining here in a Disney Plus series that's like a one-off that a lot of people are never going to see, in the capacity of respecting our military, is virtue signaling. And you can't say this in the political realm because then it looks political. What he's saying is real and it's obvious, because he's saying it in a show and in a fake universe that doesn't exist about a situation that isn't real. Like the virtue signaling that we see all the time. I don't need to know what good you're doing in your life. I should be able to know what kind of person you are just by knowing you.
Nobody's doing that anymore, though, Annie. Nobody cares to have a conversation anymore. It is all about the spotlight on yourself, how you are making yourself seem on social media.
It's currency.
And yep, it is absolutely currency. How many likes can I get? Because that'll make me feel better when I shut my eyes. That, how many likes do I get when I wake up in the morning? How many retweets? All of it. All of it is just about, okay, so I said one sentence on this subject, and I want everybody to know that I'm on board with that subject. How many people are going to like that?
You've talked many times on this show about being accosted in some capacity because you've supported Republicans and or Donald Trump. Is there an amount of virtue signaling that you could do that would atone for that, or do you have to disown the party affiliation or any level of Trump support?
I don't know. A lot of my friends or former friends that were kind of down my throat about a lot of things, I think that they just wanted me to say what they wanted to hear. That's why
they're, makes them feel better.
That's why they're former friends, because instead of having those discussions with me, they wanted me to say what they wanted me to say because they thought they were so right in the conversation that there's no way, shape, or form someone else could believe something else because what they thought was so correct. So I think what they wanted from me was to say, Donald Trump sucks, the whole entire party stinks, and we need to reinvent ourselves to be better because our party is completely damaged because of Trump and because of this, that, and the other. And unless I said those things, then they weren't going to be my friend.
Their loss, for sure.
That's the world we're living in, though. Friendships are breaking up because of politics.
It's like Phoebe Buffay. You know that Friends episode where she's trying to do a truly selfless act? And like she realizes that if she does something nice for somebody else, if it makes her feel good, then it becomes a selfish act. We are so far away from that mentality. Who knew that Phoebe Buffay would be
wise? The path. So wise.
Yeah. She definitely had her moments. I don't know if they were purposeful or not. Well, thanks for listening today. We really appreciate you being here. We are inching towards very close to 2,000 subscribers on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Would you come subscribe to us? You can watch us every day live. You can also subscribe to our podcast at radio.com and stream the station live, like the DGS that's coming up next. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.